One of the most challenging aspects of my life experience, and one of the areas in which mindfulness and mindful coping practice have helped me to be able to deal with more effectively and not struggle nearly as much with the times in life when it's what I refer to as the new wears off. I know that people have different ways of saying this, but it seems as though life can tend to be very cyclical. And sometimes we realize that, you know, the new has worn off of things. Sometimes it's more subtle. Sometimes it's, you know, it's really in the forefront of our minds, and sometimes can cause us a lot of disappointment, distress, sadness for things that no longer are. And I got to thinking about this after watching a documentary recently about the experience of life in Portugal. And I thought it was interesting how they have a word in Portuguese, in the Portuguese language, that is referred to as saudade, S-A-U-D-A-D-E. And the person that was being interviewed was talking about this word, and I really am going to probably struggle with being able to give an adequate definition of this word, but evidently what I heard in the interview was that this word is not really directly translatable into the English language, and I know there are other words like that, but this word got me thinking about, you know, the whole aspect of, you know, the new wearing off of things, or things not being what they once were. And I was really wondering, you know, why it is that as humans we tend to struggle with this in different ways. And I'm not saying that everybody does, but I know a lot of people that I've spoken to have related to me that this is something that they struggle with in a different form or fashion. This particular word, saudade, and I'm not sure if I am pronouncing it 100% correctly. What I love about it is the more I have read about the word itself, it is this very deep, and there again, I may not be translating this exactly, and I'm trying my best, trying to at least give the essence of what the word means, at least in my mind, that it is this feeling of sadness or longing for something that no longer is. It may be something that is completely absent and missing. It may be something that is still existing the way that it was before, but it no longer feels the way that it once did. And I think that is really, to me, the aspect of the word that I'm really focusing on this morning. This really speaks to me because when I look back on my life and see how I dealt emotionally with these various cycles in my life, I have, for a long time now, have referred to my life as a series of renaissances. I would have these periods where I would, and I believe I maybe have spoken about this in a previous episode. It's been some time ago, and I can't remember 100% if that's the case or not. So I'll be very brief about this particular aspect. But the idea here is that I, at least for me, and it may just be my personality, it may be the way that I'm wired, but I have tended to, you know, find something new. And it may be a new book that I'm reading. It may be a new concept. You know, at the very least, it might be a new word. It might be a new person that I've met. It may be a new relationship. It may be a new friendship, a new project that I'm involved in, a creative idea for, you know, marketing, or, you know, marketing my business in a certain way, or the services that I provide, or helping other people do that, you know, or helping people deal with things in their lives. But there tends to be this way of being with me that I tend to, when I get really fascinated with someone or something, there is a tendency for me to get very, very caught up in that. And it has various, you know, varying levels of intensities, but it always generally goes the same way. You know, I meet someone new, I discover something new, I figure out something new, I'm exposed to something new, and there is this incredible amount of excitement around that. And I have gotten to the point where, as I have become more mindful of this, that this is a pattern of behavior in my life, I have been actually utilizing the mindful awareness that I've cultivated over the years to really watch this unfold. And what is important about this is, and I will say this, that when I first really determined that this is something that I, this is a way of being for me, and this is the way that I tend to be in these situations, my first inclination was to feel like, you know, I need to stop this. I need to try not to do this. And the reason why I say that is because it generally, this cycle always ends the same way. I start to feel that feeling of something that no longer is what it once was. And in some cases, if it's a person that I have met or have come across, in some cases I find out they're not really who I thought that they were. It may be that, you know, the concept that I've discovered or something new that I've learned about that I'm really enthusiastic about kind of runs its course. And I think where I really became aware of this, you know, living this way in these particular cycles is, you know, the ride up on the roller coaster is always fun. And then there's that drop off, you know, you get to the top of it, you ride it as high as you possibly can. And then there's that moment of hesitation before you start that, you know, steep, fast descent downward. But at some point, it's inevitable that there's always that descent downward. There's always that, you know, that things, you know, end up not really being the way they once were. And this is what really motivated me or inspired me to pay more attention to this, because I struggled so much after that downward spiral, after that down, you know, after that downward fall on the roller coaster. There was always a period of, for me, there was a period, and being a person who has been prone to chronic depression, to having some extended, what I call extended low periods, where I'm not really enthusiastic or excited about anything. There can be some feelings of bitterness or sadness or despair or disappointment, or this kind of feeling like, you know I've done this again. I don't want to go through this anymore. I'm done with this. And that gets back to my point, the major point I was making a moment ago, that that is what really motivated me to start paying more attention to my mind and what it's doing when I come across something new. It is that recognition that I have this tendency, and I think it is, I don't want to say it's a universal human tendency, but I think certain personality types are more prone to this than others, and I've certainly talked to many people who have experienced this. But the idea here is, once I become aware that I struggle after, at the end of this cycle, once, you know, I've gone up the roller coaster, up that big hill, and then downwards, you know, to the bottom again, and suddenly I'm finding myself in a place where it just is no longer what it once was, that is where the struggles really begin, because that is where I begin to really lose, a passion for life. I lose what they call zest for life. There is a tendency to feel really tired, to feel upset, disappointed, all those things I mentioned a moment ago. And as a way to, I think it's really, the more I've looked at this, it's a way of protecting myself. It's a way of just telling myself, you know, I'm not going to do this anymore. And there have been times where there have been things that I clearly wanted to get excited about. There are people that I have met that I wanted to be enthusiastic about meeting them and learning what there is to learn from them. But there would be a hesitancy on my part because of my self-talk, the way that I was talking to myself, what I was telling myself about where I was in life in that moment. I had talked myself into this identity of this tired, worn-out person who no longer wants to take that ride on the roller coaster anymore. And so as I first became aware of this, because I was really in what I call an emotionally contracted state, I was really trying to protect myself. I didn't want to open myself up to this, because I finally acknowledged that it takes something out of me to take that ride, to take that ride on that roller coaster and go through the full cycle and end up at the end of the ride, and suddenly it's just not what it once was. So the more that I have taken a deeper look at this, and this is really where mindfulness practice, you know, the pure aspect of just, you know, quietly paying attention to my mind. And it's, you know, there again, sitting still, sitting quietly and watching my mind and seeing what it's doing definitely helps very much. And it's the base of the practice. But this is also very, very much about what I call mindfulness for real life. This is mindfulness, what we're mindful on our feet in the middle of life, in the middle of the storm, when everything is happening in the moment. It's, you know, we can't necessarily hide out in a cave, so to speak, and be mindful or go on retreats and then, you know, only be mindful in between times when we're in the middle of life. We can't only punctuate those times of quiet when we're completely removed from life. That we, the more we practice being mindful in real life, while on our feet, while in the middle of everything, the more we can do this. But in this case, though, the mindfulness aspect of this is really what helped facilitate me being able to see that this is a way of thinking for me. This is when I come upon something new, there are habits of mind, there are habits of habitual thought patterns that I tend to engage in. And there again, it's not to try to will myself to no longer engage in these habits of mind, to no longer think in these particular ways, because the more I try not to do it, the more I'm just going to brace against it, and the more I'm going to tend to do it. I've at least found for me, and a lot of other people I've spoken with, you know, seem to find that the more you try not to do something, the more you end up doing it. And I don't really understand why that is. I don't know if I'll ever understand or ever know why that is. And I'm okay with that. So once I know that this is the case, I know that this is how I am, this is how I am wired, my first inclination was to try, you know, as foolish as it sounds, I literally tried to, when I caught myself in the act of starting to do this, I would meet someone new and think to myself, I would hear, you know, myself talk, I would see what's going on in my mind, and I would see, okay, you know, there I go again, I'm doing this again. But it's almost like I'm having an argument with myself. I mean, I'm not really necessarily arguing out loud, but there is this kind of exchange in my head between, you know, me and myself that's, you know, this person is very fascinating. I really do want to learn more about what this person's talking about. This person fascinates me for some reason. I want to get to know them better and learn from them. This particular concept that I've just come across is really interesting to me. It really speaks to me, and I want to really take a deep dive and really understand more about it. And what I would try to do is I would be aware of it, and then I would try to sort of choreograph or try to predetermine how I was going to be. It was like I was trying to figure out a way to be fully immersed and fully engaged in either what this person was bringing to me in terms of their experiences and who they are, or some sort of concept or an idea, or just something in life, something that I've, you know, some physical object that I've discovered, some, you know, a view out of a window, something that I see while driving down the street in a car, while walking, whatever it is. And there becomes this, you know, this sort of this cycle of fascination that begins. And so I would try to sort of figure out a way to where I could be what's referred to as all in. I could, you know, I could really be in this. I could really be taking, you know, really immersed in what it is, or this person that I've met, or this concept or this thing. And I would try to figure out a way where I could, you know, try to sort of have it both ways. I could fully be present, you know, in my fascination with these things and being immersed in, you know, what I'm experiencing, but it was almost as if I was trying to figure out how to do that but not really get carried away or not let myself continue to be fascinated or continue to be immersed in this over a longer period of time. And the more that I did that, the more I found that it did not feel genuine at all. It was almost as if I was trying to have, you know, trying to really have it both ways. And so there became a point where it became too frustrating. So there again, I find myself right back where I started. And I'm just trying to avoid taking that roller coaster ride. You know, I see those opportunities, but I just don't want to engage. And so I went through a long period of just choosing to not, you know, ever be engaged or immersed in things that I was interested in or that spoke to me in a really powerful way. And it kind of felt like life felt very almost what they refer to as just sort of flatlined. It was just, there were no ups and downs. It felt like there was just downs and no ups. And the longer that I did this, the more I really sank into, you know, a more deep chronic depression. And I could still function in life and still do what I needed to do, but it's almost as if I was really preventing myself from really embracing who I really am. And this is really where the mindful coping part of this comes in, that I woke up one day and realized that this is just my personality. This is something that my heart really wants. I really do, you know, this is how I find meaning in my life, is, you know, meeting new people, learning new things, hearing new stories, getting different perspectives from people, looking at things in a completely different way from what, you know, what it is, you know, my own standpoint or from my own experiences, you know, coming outside of my comfort zone, looking at opinions and thoughts and beliefs that are completely different from my own, and doing this with an open mind. And because I tend to be, you know, not that I'm an artist at all, but, you know, art really speaks to me. And so I tend to be a very visual person, and I tend to be what they refer to as a very kinesthetic person. I'm very focused on my feelings and emotions and how things that I see and hear affect me. So this is clearly something that if I really want to live fully, I'm going to have to figure out a way how to do this. And this is really the coping aspect of this. You know, how am I going to do this? And this is really what leads to the conclusion of all this, that I finally have accepted and embraced that this is the way that I am, that really for me, life is about opening myself up to these new experiences, meeting new people, discovering new things, seeing things I haven't seen before, hearing things I haven't heard before, but doing it in a way where I don't allow myself to do what I usually do and really cause myself a lot of unnecessary suffering. And this is really, to me, it's sort of a compromise. It's kind of what, you know, it's kind of what, you know, the Buddha referred to as the middle path. It's, you know, we're not going too far one way or too far the other. We're not avoiding everything, but at the same time, we're also not fully, you know, we're not going too far to extremes to where we're so caught up in something that we lose our bearings. We're not really able to keep a balance because we can really, you know, get too carried away with things. It is possible. The ancient Chinese, I read one time, the ancient Chinese speak of what was translated into being referred as excess joy. We can actually get so caught up in the joy and happiness of meeting new people. And especially when people really make us feel good about ourselves and make us feel good about life and bring excitement to us, we discover new things that really invigorate us and vivify us. And when this happens, there is a tendency to get really caught up. And it's almost like, in a way, it's almost, I don't want to necessarily refer to this as an addiction, but it can sort of have those same tendencies. You know, you can really love the ride upwards. You can really love the high. But you always know it's some, and that's really what I guess my point is here, is that I've accepted the fact that this is what life is for me. Now, I can't say this is for anyone else, but for me, this is, you know, this is the way I grow. I have to, I need to take these rides, but I need to do it in a way that does not cause me unnecessary suffering, that does not trigger my own, you know, ongoing chronic depression, in a way that does not cause me to have periods where I'm literally living, you know, completely shut off from life for an extended period of time. And then I have another, what I refer to as another renaissance, where I'm taking that ride up on the roller coaster again, only to end up some, you know, at the bottom of the ride where, you know, it's no longer what it once was. And every time I do that, I literally feel, you know, the old saying, I feel like I die inside a little bit. I feel like there's a little less of me each time. That really does feel very true. I don't know if it is true or not. I don't know if that's really happening to me or not. But I know that until I discovered this, and mindfulness is, you know, I discovered that this is the way that I am, this is the way that I'm wired, I don't want to miss out on these opportunities to learn and to deepen my own experiences and to, you know, become someone who has more depth through, you know, being exposed to new things. But at the same time, I have to do it in a way where I can cope with the ramifications of this, because I still have to make a living, I still have responsibilities, I still have family and people that I love and care about, and I have other people in my life that I have relationships with, and I can't really attend to all these things if I am completely, emotionally shut down, and I'm really, you know, in a emotionally contracted state, and I really can't be open to anybody because I'm hurting too badly about the disappointment or the hurt or the pain that I'm feeling because something, you know, is what it no longer was. The ride, I don't want to say the ride is over, but it's just that we find a way to accept the fact that these things are cyclical. And that it's not always going to feel brand new. And I've heard many, many people talk, and I know I've experienced this, that, you know, we can go from one new thing to another. Sometimes people do this with relationships. Sometimes people do this with hobbies, with things that we, material things that we acquire. You know, we're looking for that, what they call that dopamine hit. We're looking for that constant high. And the problem is that, you know, as many people I've talked to have struggled with these kinds of addictions, that wherever there's a high, there's always going to be a low. And it's accepting this and then realizing, okay, you know, shutting myself off and cutting myself off from this process of life for me, because this is life for me, is not going to work either. So being able to pay attention to my mind as I am encountering someone or something new, being aware of the fact that, you know, this is how my mind works, and being able, you know, as long as I'm aware that, you know, of what my mind is doing, I can catch myself in the act of over-investing too much emotionally, energetically over-investing too much in things. I can still very much enjoy these things and be fully in them and be immersed in these new experiences or getting to know new people, but I need to keep my eyes open. Because sometimes I find that people aren't who, you know, I end up finding out they're not who I thought that they were. So if I can be more present and be more mindful in each moment, I can still enjoy all of the good things that there are about something new or someone new. But at the same time, I'm paying attention, and just by paying attention to these things and being aware that this is a tendency for me, I find that it naturally helps me stay in the middle of the road, so that I'm not getting too carried away, but at the same time I'm also not, you know, trying to brace myself or protect myself from opening myself up to someone or something that is really going to benefit me and make my life more meaningful in the long run. And as I have done this more and more, I'm starting to find that I can go into new situations, and I may very well catch myself, you know, feeling those inclinations or those desires to completely get caught up in it. And all I have to do is, once I'm aware of it, the more I practice doing this, and this is something that anyone can do. It's just one of the many facets of what mindfulness practice and then mindful coping practice, because we have to be aware first that we're doing this. And once we are allowing ourselves to be who we genuinely are and trust that the awareness will be enough to allow us to kind of correct course if we need to, then we can figure out how to cope with being fully in life without not letting it, you know, take us, carrying us away to where we can't take care of the things that we want and need to take care of. We can live life. We can accept the fact that things begin and things end and that there are cycles. We will meet people that really inspire us or speak to us in some way or encounter new things that really excite us. But at the end of the day, we already know that at some point there is a cycle there. You know, the cycle will continue. At some point, it will not be as exciting as it once was. It will not be as new as it once was. And I heard a personal coach recently talking about how it does take discipline to continue to be willing to be in a relationship that we know is good for us and good for the other person. We know that it's serving us in some way, or that we continue to do some sort of work or make some sort of effort or you know, do some sort of practice that really benefits us and feeds us, while knowing that at the beginning, you know, at the beginning it's going to be very exciting, but at some point it may not be as exciting, but it still may be very, very beneficial for us and for those that we love and care about. And I think that's really ultimately the questions that we have to ask ourselves when we find ourselves at the end of that cycle, or that it's, you know, completely run its way through, and we're now finding ourselves questioning whether we want to continue to be involved with this person, or whether we want to continue to do this thing that we're doing, or that we want to continue to expose ourselves to these particular ideas or concepts or whatever it may be, that it does take discipline. Because once it does become old, it's kind of like, you know, getting the gym membership right after the first of the year, and then, you know, 3 months in, you know, or do we really want to do these things anymore? We start a project that we're really excited about, and, you know, 3 weeks later, are we really as excited about it as we were? And if we're not, are we really going to be willing to make this effort and continue to do this? And I think for me, once I've accepted the fact that this is inevitable with anything new that I come across or that I encounter, I can cope with it more effectively and really determine, you know, and be honest with myself about whether it's something that I really want to continue. And then the other side of the coin is, if it's not something that I'm really that excited about and it's not really feeding me at a certain level and it's really not necessary for me to have a meaningful life, I can make the, you know, I'm in a better headspace. I mean, I have more, able to have more clarity about whether it's something that I need to continue or not. But I'm not being pulled by my emotions and feeling guilty about no longer engaging in it, or not necessarily continuing to stay in touch with someone, if I can be really clear about what is best for me and that what's best, you know, best for all parties involved. And I think that this is something that accepting that this is the way that life is, if this is the way that we see that it is, and then using mindfulness practice to be more aware and mindful coping practice to be able to cope with our emotions and not believing everything and that we're thinking about what we're feeling when these things ultimately happen and we find ourselves at either the beginning or the end of the cycle or somewhere in between.